With NPR News in Nashville, this is 90.3 WPLN. I'm Jason Moon Wilkins. Williamson County businessman Bill Lee was the surprise winner of the Republican primary for governor last night. The Christian conservative and owner of Lee Company beat out Congressman Diane Black, former Economic Development Commissioner Randy Boyd, and House Speaker Beth Harwell. WPLN's Chas Sisk reports.
Lee appeared to be the third-place contestant through much of the campaign, but he closed quickly in the latter stages, stunning even some of his supporters, like 26-year-old Casey Chilson, who attended Lee's election night watch party in Franklin.
I'm a little surprised just because a couple weeks ago it didn't seem that way at all. And I think, if anything, some of the mudslinging got attention on him.
The Lee campaign spent far less than Black or Boyd, but unlike them, Lee largely focused on the positive, fashioning himself as an outsider businessman. Lee alluded to that approach in his victory speech.
We didn't go down that road, and I'm not going to start now.
That's right.
Lee now faces former Nashville Mayor Carl Dean in the general election. The governor's office has flip-flopped between the parties in Tennessee for the past half century. Lee hopes to break that pattern. For Nashville Public Radio, I'm Chas Sisk.
Meanwhile, the race to replace gubernatorial candidate Diane Black in the U.S. Congress has taken shape. Businessman and former state agriculture commissioner John Rose will be the favorite in a decidedly Republican district to the northeast of Nashville. It includes Sumner and Wilson counties. His support for gun rights and a border wall with Mexico helped grab more than 40% of the Republican vote. That included Nancy Mullis in Lebanon, who said she chose candidates who align with President Trump.
I care about our country, and I care about the direction our country's going in, and I want to get local people that will support our president.
Rose will face Democrat Don Barlow in the race for Congress. Barlow is a Cookeville native who works in health care in Overton County. Voters in Cheatham County did not get to find out official results of their local elections last night after a malfunction delayed the process. The Ashland City News says the Election Commission blamed equipment but did not offer specifics. The commission said they are in contact with their state superiors and hope to have the results out sometime today. There were numerous contested races on the ballot, including county commissioners, school board members, and county mayor. A few Middle Tennessee counties will now have new sheriffs, while others saw incumbents maintain their positions. The Manchester Times reports there will be a new sheriff in Coffee County, where Chad Parton beat out incumbent Steve Graves in a tight race. Robertson County's former chief deputy beat out two challengers to win the job there. Robertson County Times says Michael Van Dyke was endorsed by his former boss, who retired this year. In Rutherford, Mike Fitzhugh will retain the job he was appointed to last year. He replaced the now incarcerated Robert Arnold. In Murray County, the Columbia Daily Herald reports a sometimes contentious race ended up with a lopsided outcome, as incumbent Bucky Rowland easily kept his seat. Incumbent sheriffs in Davidson and Williamson ran unopposed. We'll have more election coverage coming up later this hour, and you can find more details at WPLN.org. It's 72 degrees in Nashville at 8:07. With NPR News in Nashville, this is 90.3 WPLN. I'm Jason Moon Wilkins. There is no police footage for the fatal police shooting in North Nashville last week, despite millions available in funding for body cameras. So far, the investigation into the shooting of Dan Hambrick has relied on surveillance cameras because the city's program for body and dash cams is still in pilot phase. The Tennessean notes that the Metro Council originally asked that at least 168 cameras be deployed by June 30th of this year, but there are currently 20, as the department is testing different vendors before making a decision. The council approved nearly $20 million for cameras and computer storage last summer, but the request for proposals did not go out until December. Criminal justice advocates have questioned the delay, but the newspaper says other communities have taken a while to get their programs up and running, noting it took 2 years after approval in Franklin. The date is drawing near for Tennessee's first execution in nearly a decade, but it's not certain Billy Ray Eyrick will be put to death on August 9th as scheduled. Supporters of Eyrick say that he's mentally ill and was undergoing a psychotic episode when he raped and murdered a 7-year-old in the mid-1980s. Governor Bill Haslam has been reviewing the case, but he told reporters last week he was cautious about intervening.
My role is not to be a 13th juror. It's not to decide is capital punishment right or wrong. It's the law of the state. My role is to say, did the process break down anywhere along the way?
Opponents of the death penalty are also challenging the state's lethal injection protocol. Last week, a Nashville chancellor ruled unequivocally to uphold the procedure, but the case will most likely be appealed. David Rabin, one of Tennessee's top death penalty experts, says he expects the state Supreme Court to grant a stay in order to consider the arguments. He added that he would be astounded if the state carries out Eirich's execution next week. The new head of the Environmental Protection Agency has reversed a decision made by his predecessor regarding so-called glider kit trucks. Scott Pruitt's final act before resigning as EPA chief was to decide the government would not enforce a cap on producing these vehicles, whose engines pollute at a much higher rate. The Obama administration had wanted to restrict their numbers, but one of the leading manufacturers based in Cookeville pushed back with the help of Congressman Diane Black and a study conducted by Tennessee Tech. That study claimed the vehicles produce less pollutants than previously thought, but the school has since distanced itself from that study and is conducting an internal investigation. Regardless of last week's decision by the EPA, the New York Times reports other efforts to repeal the cap are still underway. The Centers for Disease Control says people with backyard flocks need to quit hugging their chickens. The agency is tracing a salmonella outbreak that has hit 44 states this year, including Tennessee. Last week, the CDC issued guidelines for handling the birds, including a warning to only pick them up if you have to. They remind owners that chickens can carry the disease and still appear healthy. So far this year, more than 200 cases of salmonella have been linked to backyard chickens, with nearly three dozen hospitalizations. No deaths have been reported. Tennessee has seven cases.